Hello, hello, hello. How are you? I hope you're having a fabulous day. Listen, honey, it has been so long since I have done any sort of voice recording, and let me tell you, I'm glad to be back. It wasn't a long season. It was a very fast-paced season. It was a crazy season. But you know what, babe? We made it. Everybody survived. And life is good. So, if you are joining or you found this podcast over the past summer season, I want to say welcome. Thank you for being here. If you are a regular and you may have been one of the many who reached out over the summer and was like, where are the podcast episodes? What's going on? Are you okay? We're back, girl. And we're gonna break into it. We're gonna hash into it. I've got about 30 minutes today, and I'm excited to be very casual, chill, and just be real life with you. So let's get into it. I do want to talk about some of the things that happened over the summer. I want to talk about life things. I want to talk about business things. And we're gonna see just how far we can get. If you haven't noticed, I am in a car right now. Surprise! Surprise, surprise. Always on the go. And it's gonna be lovely. I'm excited to have you along for my road trip to my parents' house. So we're going to have dinner with mom and dad. But let's break into it. So, after this spring season, which was kind of where the episodes really started to taper off, I knew that I needed to take a step back from putting in the effort to, or reevaluating the effort that goes into doing podcasts every week. The business was really booming, and I was really caught in a moment this spring where I was not in a super great spot. Julio needed to go to Mexico to take care of some paperwork, so he left end of May, beginning of June, which really was not good timing at all on anyone's part. The reason, or what he was doing, could have been done over the winter, but it wasn't done. Neither here nor there, that doesn't matter now. But we were really scraping by. H2A guys have not gotten here yet because we were waiting on the house to be inspected, which we were waiting on the house to get completed and finished. All of that was hitting and happening at the same time as Mother's Day. Wholesale was really booming. We were still shipping plants at that point in time too. So it was madness. It was insane. Going through that point in time made me live very, very, very briefly, very partially as well, made me live out my worst nightmare being in business. And that worst nightmare is that I don't have people. And this has been something that I've kind of had to wrangle and navigate and work through for a very long time, and it's not something that I've fully unpacked. I'm an only child, grew up as an only child, and I do believe that there is a part of this fear of being alone that I carry with me, that kind of stems from somewhere, that childhood. I don't know what it is. I don't know where exactly it comes from, but it's something that I do carry with, and I do navigate, and I do think about, and sometimes it does keep me up at night. The concept of not having people in my life, in my business, whether it's employees, customers, etc., that's huge for me. And this spring, when Julio was gone, and Mauricio and Felipe weren't here yet, and we were really operating on bare bones, it was me and Ashley and Haley and Shane. So that's basically leaving us with half staff. So it was a big stretch. It was a big challenge. But we made it through. That point in time was when I realized, like, hey, I can't be doing episodes every week, and this isn't something that we can continue to do. So that's why I kind of parted from the pod over the summer. And really, quite frankly, it was a really good decision. It allowed me to free up two hours of my work week, where I could be more present for our staff. I could be around to answer questions. I could help and assist more with customers. I could have a more of an in-depth role in planning for weddings, and it was good, quite frankly. So that was wonderful. Let's talk about the flowers. Let's talk about the season. So the flowers and the season and the business and the staff all kind of roll into one big happy sushi roll, if you will. You can't have a sushi roll if you don't have fish, and you can't have blah 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 if you don't have blah blah blah. So that's really how. That was a weird analogy. I don't know that was successful. Anyway, this is, or has been, our first full season, our first season, really, utilizing H-2A labor. H-2A labor, if you're not familiar, is a government-facilitated migrant labor program where you, as a business, are able to bring workers from another country to your business. If this is an H-2A visa, then it's for agriculture. If it's an H-2B visa, it's for general business. So, since we are considered agriculture, we are producing a crop that we sell. We fell under the H-2A program, and Mauricio and Felipe came via a recommendation from another farm that utilizes H-2A for floral, and they arrived in the middle of June. And they've been a fantastic addition to our farm. The house that they live in was the house that we purchased and did a reno on this spring, that's 7 minutes away from the farm. We provide them transportation to and from the farm every day, transportation to the nearest city for food and groceries and bank and all of those things that you need as a person, as a live functioning human being. They've really grown to be grown to be a permanent part of our daily operation. I'm very, very thankful for them. In conjunction with Mauricio and Felipe, we really would have a much different viewpoint or outlook on them in that program. Not necessarily them as individuals, but that program in general, if we didn't have Julio. Julio is our farm manager, who also is from Mexico, and this is his second full season, but his third year with us. He is great. We love him. So those three guys are all on our field crew. The fourth member of the field crew is Shane. He's one of our local guys who is always, you know, down to do whatever needs to be done, whether it's all weeding on your hands and knees all day, pinching dahlias all day, harvesting. You know, he's there. He's, you know, great guy, loads of fun. Everybody loves him. In addition to field guys, Ashley, who is my right-hand girl, is a delight. I love her. She's local, next town over, been with us since 2021, so this is her third year. She is the one who helps, or not helps, she does all of the pulling and organizing of the florist orders in the first part of the week, and then she helps with weddings the second part of the week. So Ashley does all of our personals for weddings, so risk corsages, boutonnieres, things like that. She organizes and manages all of our rental inventory. All of our supplies are done by Ashley. she works hand-in-hand with two other employees, Tim, our delivery driver, who does all of our deliveries for us for wholesale, to Chicago, Madison, and Milwaukee, and then Haley. Haley is a new addition to our team this year. She is our secretary slash office support slash jump in wherever we need a body, and she's been delightful. She is very, very hardworking. She takes pride in doing a good job. She handles all of the communication with our florists, so that is tremendous. She handles all of, nearly all, I would say like 98% of the communication between all general customers. So that would be tuber customers, cutting customers, general questions coming in, and that really, really opened up so much bandwidth for me. I would say, looking back over the past season, one of the things, or one of the people that was really able to allow me to live and not die over the summer is Haley, and that is because I really desperately needed help in the office. If you listen to previous episodes in the podcast, you'll hear me reference how, like, in the office, it's just me, and, like, I'm barely getting by. Like, going back and listening to those, for me, is really an eye-opening experience, because that is a cry for help, if I ever heard one. That's exactly what that is. Yes, Haley has been a lifesaver, for sure. And then, let's see, who else did we have? The farm grandma, Miss Carolyn. If you don't have a farm grandma, I would highly encourage you to get one. They have them at your local coffee shop, usually on Friday mornings. That's a joke. Carolyn has been with us since the beginning, basically. I can remember years and years and years ago, it'd be Carolyn and I in the basement of the shop making grocery store bouquets, because I didn't have any staff, and Carolyn is one of our neighbors and has now quickly become a permanent fixture at the farm and a family friend and coined the farm grandma, and she's always there to help, whether it's processing flowers for weddings or doing bud vases or greening up centerpieces or whatever the case is. She is delightful. Outside of all of these daily people that have really had a strong hand in making this season what it is, there have been multiple people coming in and out throughout the season as well. Whether it's helping with UPIC, making sure that we have staff for that, or whether it's helping set up or tear down a wedding, or whether it's for Farmer's Market. We started getting back into Farmer's Market more religiously, and I, for that, want to take a second to talk about the one and only Miss Penny and Daryl, my parents, who I would say year after year get farther and farther invested into the operations of Clara Joyce. Whenever I'm in a situation talking about the business or what I do for a living, I'm oftentimes met with the perspective, or someone coming from the perspective of, oh, well, this was your family's business, and you just are taking it over. And it's really, really quite the opposite. Clara Joyce is a business, a company, a brand, if you will, that I started. And as that continues to grow and expand and evolve, Mom and Dad are starting to really find a footing in it. Outside of the farm and what I do on a daily basis, they both have full-time jobs. Mom works in commercial agriculture at a grain handling facility, or a cooperative. And she's been with that company for over 30 years and lives and breathes for local agriculture and agriculture in general. My dad, who has been very, very fundamental in the physical construction and the physical happenings, making things happen at the farm, is in construction by trade and has always been involved in some sort of the trades industry, whether it's it was engineering and building bridges when I was growing up, or on construction crews and remodeling, and now starting to be a little more selective. I won't dare say retire, but more selective on his own jobs that he's taking on. It's allowing both of them more time and more opportunity to really start to become ingrained in what we do at the farm. Having said all of those things, Mom has found a love for doing farmers markets. Growing up, we did glass blowing. My family worked with glass for 16 years, and during that window of time, there was a period where we would do a Midwest art show circuit every summer, and during that show circuit, we would set up for different art shows and craft fairs and things like that, and then we would sell the jewelry and the home furnishings that we would make, and that little element of the hustle, Mom was able to refine and rekindle that love via doing farmers markets. So that's been quite fun. So yeah, that kind of breaks down all of the people from the season from an inner workings or a behind the scenes perspective, and we don't often get to show all of that on social media. So if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook and you're like, I didn't realize there was that many people, it's because A, I'm going a million different directions over the course of the day, or B, I oftentimes take photos and make content towards the end of the day, and sometimes people are already gone by then. So there are lots of hands that make this work possible. We should also talk about that this past late summer, yours truly got married. Can you believe it? This was one of the biggest secrets that I was like, yes, I am holding this for me. And I have not kept a secret like that for a very long time. George and I met in fall of 2020. At a backyard pizza party, through a mutual friend, the friend, her name is Margot. I met Margot at the farm. She came for a fall bulb bar. It was a fall plant sale in 2020. And we became friends on Instagram, and we were texting one night, and she was like, oh, you should come over to our place for a pizza party some night. And I was like, absolutely. Like, you just tell me when and I'll be there. And she's like, okay, great. Pizza will be here in 45 minutes. Now, keep in mind, Margo lives an hour away. So I was like, okay, I'll be there in an hour. Literally dropped everything, threw on a clean sweatshirt, and out the door I went. I texted my mom. I was like, hey, remember that kind of crazy lady that came to the fall bulb bar from Rockford? I'm going to her house for a pizza party. I'll be back later tonight. Oh my gosh. It was so fun. George was there, some of his friends were, other friends were there, and we had a great time, and we kind of hit it off since. So thank you, Margot, for setting that up. Anyway, we got engaged this past March in Chicago. I was at a stop sign. Got engaged in Chicago at the Garfield Park Conservatory, one of my favorite conservatories. And at Garfield Park, if you've never been, they have this beautiful, huge, it's one of the main rooms in the conservatory system, called the Fern Room. And there's this beautiful, large, very tastefully done pond in the center, walking paths that go around the pond, and gorgeous, gorgeous installations of ferns that have been there for decades and decades and decades, and they're just delightful, and it's my favorite place. And he proposed at the end of the pond, and there was a photographer, and we got the whole thing, and it was amazing. So that was fun. But a little behind the scenes, behind the curtain situation, we had been planning this wedding for a while. Let's rephrase that. I knew that I wanted our wedding to be, in late summer, early fall, because that is the best time for dahlias. And I always wanted to get married on the farm, because I have put so much of myself and my life into that space, and I have very, very, very fond memories of growing up in that space and being there with my grandparents and my grandpa, who's no longer with us, helping build the first two greenhouses, and it was just a lot. George was on board the whole way. So, ceremony was outside in the ceremony block. We had gorgeous, gorgeous installations of florals, done by some of my very best friends in the industry. Karen from Seventh Hand Farm in Memphis, Tennessee, and Kryn from Bloom Chick Floral Company, Springfield, Tennessee. Kryn is relocating north, thank God. She's coming up to Wisconsin, so she's gonna be close. I'm gonna love it. So Karen and Kryn were here for almost the entire week of the wedding, and they were on board the whole way. John from John's Plant Adventure in Arizona came up to help get ready. Callie from Chicago, one of the florists that works at one of our customers in Chicago, came over, and it was amazing. It was tremendous. So ceremony was outside, cocktail was outside, photos were outside, and then reception dinner was in the last greenhouse, one of our big 34 by 96 foot greenhouses. We emptied a week and a half before, leveled the ground, put a floating floor in, so we had a hard surface, painted the floor, hung 135 ferns above all the dining tables, did beautiful florals. We had a bud vase wall, where guests would take the bud vase from the vase wall, to their space, which that was their table, their escort cart. It was full of little fun moments, and it was quite magical. And it did rain during dinner, and it was pretty cool. It was very, very cool. Being in a greenhouse during a rainstorm is it's an experience that not many people get to experience, get to go through in their life. But you are in this giant bubble, usually not with 150 people, but here we were in this giant bubble, surrounded by 150 of our closest friends and family. And there was this, I tell everybody that there was this like 3 to 4 minute window where no one was really quite sure what to do. There was, you know, we had to run outside and grab a few elements and move the DJ inside. But once all of that was stable, it was kind of like this breath of relief, this sense of release that we all just kind of were like, oh, this is okay. This is good. And then the night went on, and it was lovely. It was wonderful. It was amazing. We all had a fantastic time. So that was in September, and I am coming up to my parents' house, so we're going to have to pick this up in a second.
I recorded that first part in the middle of October, and it is now November. That's just kind of a little glimpse of just how crazy life is sometimes, and I know that many, many, many of you can relate to that, but here we are. So, to catch you up to speed, I We got our first frost. We got frosted out the very last day in October. So we have been all hands on deck getting tubers lifted. I've got a whole nother story about peonies and the nearly 7,000 peonies that we're planting this fall. We've got all the tulips to go in yet, and so it's still very busy. But today I am on my way to St. Louis for the ASCFG conference. This is the national conference, and I'm super excited. This year I was fortunate to be asked to give a presentation on Dahlia production, and I'm very excited about that. I'm also very excited to see friends and people and customers and smiling faces and put names to faces, because we talk to so many of you on internet channels, whether it's email or Instagram. But I don't we don't get to see a lot of that we don't get a lot of that face-to-face time rather. So I'm very excited. So where we left off was night of the wedding. Everything had gone great, even with the rain, and everyone had a great time. So after that, we kind of rolled into really peak dahlia season. Because of all of the things that we had going on this past spring with buying the house for the H-2A and the delay in the H-2A arrival, Julio being in Mexico, et cetera, we had major delays on the farm when it came to planting and getting crops in and things like that. So we, quite frankly, came into dahlia season a month behind where we usually would. We usually have the first dahlia flowers happening in the later part of July. And then we hit peak production usually like the first or second week in August. And then we ride that all the way through until frost. But this year, that didn't happen. We really didn't hit peak until like the middle of September, which was really quite nerve-wracking because I know that frosts can be, lurking right around the corner at that point in the season. So that was definitely not first choice by any stretch of the word. However, we were very, very fortunate, very lucky to have an incredibly late frost this year. We had a light nipping in some of the low points on the farm in like the middle of October. But it definitely was not a killing frost by any stretch of the word. And I would comfortably say that, 2 or 3 days after that first little nip, the plant material, the foliage, the tissue that got hit was already starting to brown and or crisp up rather, and the plants were regrowing, they were rebounding. So that really was fine. We rode through with our wholesale season all the way until the end of October, which was not that long ago. Since then, it's been, just like I said, very, very busy. Our H-2A guys go back the end of November, so we are, doing everything we can to make the most of our time together, and make sure we get, as many of the big projects done as we possibly can. Because we need to really start to be thinking about rolling into kind of the next seasons, if you will. So we're coming into holiday season, so evergreens will be showing up at the farm here very soon. And then we'll roll into Christmas production with wreaths and swags and porch pots and centerpieces and all of those things. And then after that, it very gracefully rolls into propagation season. So in order for that roll to work, we are, right now, taking inventory and taking counts of all of the mother and propagated material that we have for our mom stock, figuring out what we need more of, things that we might need a little less of, and also doing the same thing for dahlias, you know, taking account of, you know, varieties that we need for cutting production, making sure we have enough stock of those pulled out of the main storage totes, because we need to start the cuttings that we're or the tubers that we're growing for cuttings in January, and that's like a month before really anything else is being cleaned and divided this year. So it's a little more logistical work through to facilitate that as well, of which is totally fine. Previously, you kind of heard me do a walkthrough or a rundown of basically our entire staff for the season. And it really, I think, is worth emphasizing that an operation or a farm or a business at some point is going to have many hands that make that operate and make that system work. And our business, Clara Joyce, is really no different. We have a very strong crew. We have, you know, people who love their job, who are dedicated, who are excited to come. There's always a new adventure every day when you come to Clara Joyce. It is really, you know, it makes me feel good about the work that we're doing, about the environment that we're cultivating, about the culture and the team that we're building, because this is a long-term business. This isn't a quick overnight dream where, you know, we till up some ground and we plant some zinnias and then we grow some stuff and then we're done. This is something that I do plan on, you know, having a role in and facilitating and continuing to grow for the vast majority of my life. So that is something that I'm very excited about, is having a strong team. Yes, wonderful. So that kind of caught us up to speed. We talked about wedding, we talked about staff, we talked about some of the spring adventures. And I am excited to get back into recording more content and more podcasts over the upcoming winter months, if you will. It should be a lot of fun. So I do have a list of topics still from the spring that we will be starting to work through. But I'm gonna kind of sprinkle that up and be a little more pick and choose. There were, you know, lots of people that reached out over the summer and fall seasons, kind of, you know, like I mentioned, checking in, but also submitting, you know, ideas, things they had questions on, things that we needed to, or topics that we could address. So, having said all of that, I am also looking forward to those moments and what is to come. So I am going to let you go. We will be back. I will be back. I don't know about you, but I'll be here next week. We'll be hashing into and breaking down some other facet of the horticulture industry, things that we do and are involved with on a daily basis. And we'll talk to you then. Okay, have a good day. Bye.